This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your day today. And we are going to hear today on this Thursday and then tomorrow something I preached a couple weeks back. Oh, I preached a sermon, actually, it's probably been a month or so ago, on the person and character of Moses. And this is what I want to look at here. I want to look at part two now, the second message. The first one was Moses and the burning bush. Now, today I want to look at something I've entitled Moses and the Name of God, taken out of Exodus chapter 3, where God sends Moses out and back to the people of Israel. And God says, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? That's what we're looking at, the name of God. Moses and the name of God. This is part one. This will play three parts today and tomorrow and on Monday. Moses and the name of God. If you like sermons such as this, and if you're looking for a church home, I invite you to come out to Island Sunday morning at 10:30. Now, here is part one of this message, Moses and the name of God.
In our last sermon, we looked at the holiness of God and how God instructed Moses to take his shoes off. Remember that, everyone, where we left off? Exodus chapter 3. Then we took communion afterwards. We look at, you know, God told Moses to take his shoes off, that we're on holy ground. And we looked at the name of God is holy and is to be revered. Then we looked at Aaron's two sons, Leviticus chapter 10, offered up unauthorized fire unto the Lord. And then we looked at what happens when you take communion irreverently. That's where we left off a couple weeks ago. Now, Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now the Lord Jesus referred to this too. As he said, if you remember, he said, God is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. In other words, Abraham is not dead. Neither is his son Isaac. Neither is his son Jacob. For that matter, neither will you be if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Then it says Moses hid his face because he was afraid to gaze at God. I bet. This is how you can tell the difference between a speaker of truth and a charlatan. Remember that, please. The charlatan claims that he or she goes to heaven, sees the face of Almighty God, and then comes back and writes a book about it. Whereas the speaker of truth falls at his face and says, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, and I'm unclean in his sight." That's what happens when you run face into face with Almighty God, which, by the way, no one has ever done. Exodus 33, it says, "No man can see me and live." But the next time you read about a book and you read about it, someone goes up to heaven and comes back, they yuck it up with God and come back and they write a book about it, you'll know. Anyone who's been in the presence of God falls on their face like a dead man. It happened to John, Revelation chapter 1. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man." That's what happens. Those who are in the presence of God are told, "Take off your shoes. God is holy. He must be approached that way. Woe is you if you use his name in vain." What does he say? "I will not hold him" what? All right, blameless, guiltless. All right, verse 7. "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Now, he says, verse 8, "So I have come down." Now, let's say literally, "I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and the mosquito bites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. So come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." So that's the scene. Indeed, God does come down, but God still uses you to carry out his work here on earth. You are God's hands and feet. For some awesome reason, he chooses to use people. So literally, he did come down, not just a figure of speech, but he still used someone else to carry out his work. Moses' response is found in verse 11. It says, "But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this will be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is your name? What should I say to them?" Fair enough question, isn't it? Who are you, God? What's your name? I mean, there are many so-called gods, little g, right? Especially at that time. But who are you? Who is God? What should I tell the Jews your name is? And now verse 14. And the springboard for all we're going to look at here today and all I've got to say to you here today. Verse 14. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." King James Version, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." Moreover, in other words, he's not done yet. "Moreover," God said to Moses, "thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial to all generations. Wow. This is my name forever and my memorial. What does that mean, I am? Well, I am is the verb to be. Think of your basic English. I am, you are, he is, I am. My translation from the Greek Septuagint Old Testament, it's actually, it's a revision of an older work from 1851. I did not dare touch the way this man translated this passage. Exodus 3:14, it says, ego eimi ho on in Greek. In the Greek Septuagint Old Testament, God says his name is, he said, I am the being. The being. That just blows me away. The being. What an awesome thing. Not a being, the being. And guess what? The being loves you. He loves you. The being of all the universe, the creator of everything, the being loves you. God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. That's God's message to you today. The being loves you. I am. Usually the phrase I am demands, now help me out with my English, isn't it a predicate? Something that follows, right? I am something. Not just I am, but with him it's I am. I am is self-existent. Think about it. The being. Now in Hebrew, God's answer was these four letters. It's pronounced Yahweh. Y-H-V-H. In old Hebrew, you got to remember, there was no vowels in Hebrew. They added vowels much later. Which is why the Jews are scared to pronounce the name of God, because they're throwing darts at a dartboard. They don't know. Man has added the vowels to God's name. These four, Y-H-V-H, which is a form of the verb to be. Scribes later added what they thought were the right vowels. Y-H-V-H. They added an E, Yehovah, which then in English, all of those old Latin and Hebrew Y's, they change into J's. Yehovah became Jehovah.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.